A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 123. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion of Invasion Earth. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Invasion Earth, 1998 miniseries in 6 parts from the BBC and from the Sci-Fi Channel, a co-production, mixes some quite expensive special effects, an interesting cast, and a rather dark and disturbing story for us here on British Invaders, Brian. In places quite sort of sinister and gloomy.
Yes, absolutely. This was a big alien invasion show that was a British-US co-production, and there's some interesting things in here. So continuing from where we were talking about a bit of the story last time, the NATO forces have shot down this UFO and unwittingly become involved in this alien conflict. And as we go through this, we discover that there are definitely 2 alien races that are involved here.
That's right. And there's the race we meet first, who are the Echoes, who appear to be a peaceful alien race. We first encountered them in World War II in the sort of opening sequence of the first episode, when one of them crash lands in London during the Blitz or is shot down. It's not quite clear. And the Echoes look like pale-skinned humanoids with strange markings or sort of tattoos on them. But apart from that, they do look sort of recognizably human. They have advanced technology. They have obviously spaceships. They have suits with cloaking devices. And of course, they've taken one of our cast members. They've taken this character, Lieutenant Tyrell, away from World War II with them as an ambassador. And then he returns in the first episode and sort of tells us a bit about the Echoes and who they are and what's been going on.
Yes, they are peaceful to a very strong degree and will not be involved in violence at any cost. So there's some interesting things they do with that philosophy there. Then we get into a second alien race, which is the threat and the enemy of the Echoes. And these become known as the NDs, ND being N-dimensional, because we really don't have an actual name for them. They are transdimensional beings who use portals to travel through space, and they are operating in a multidimensional space instead of just 3 dimensions, which means that they are able to enter and exit and move around us very easily and are very, very powerful. And there is a physical form which looks like a 3-dimensional being, but the NATO team was really not able to capture it, even though they attempted to. So it is quite interesting. And what we learn is that these NDs are, in a sense, farmers, but what they are farming is organic matter and living organic matter from various planets. And they have their own tissue can actually infect and spread from person to person, sort of preparing humans for harvest. So there's some quite grim aspects here of the NDs being very powerful and working to farm life forms.
Absolutely, and it is quite unpleasant stuff. As you say, we've got the peaceful Echoes who really, in a way, are just our sort of way into the story, and then through this Charles Tyrell, they sort of explain some of what's going on with the NDs to us. And then after that, the NDs really take over as the main sort of antagonists of this story. And what they're trying to do is very unpleasant, and it's going to lead the NATO team to some very difficult decisions about how they will contain the threat of the NDs and of this sort of spreading infection, which seems to be preparing humans to be harvested. It's all quite sinister and unpleasant in a way, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And the echoes, in addition to being our way into the story, so to speak, they also help to show us that even with this highly advanced technology, they could not stand against the NDs. And we learn about the extreme measures they went to and so on. So they help to tell us just how difficult it is to deal with the NDs and how formidable a threat they are.
Yeah, so this encounter we've had with a UFO and ships being shot down, and then as the story moves along, we really get into the title and it becomes an invasion. The Earth is being invaded by the NDs. And as we say, there's some tough choices to come as we build towards a difficult and a perhaps sort of like open to interpretation ending.
Yes, there are some very intense moments in this, for sure.
So we'll divert slightly into talking about alien invasions as a storyline in general. And we'll do this because we know that the writer, Jed Mercurio, is particularly interested in this. And there are some notes about the alien invasion genre on the DVD set that we've been watching. And perhaps, I suppose, the most well-known is by H.G. Wells, who we were talking about in our last shows for British Invaders, because his War of the Worlds story is probably the sort of like the progenitor. It's probably the first of these alien invasion stories, Brian.
Yes, it certainly set the pattern. And it was sort of the classic alien invasion story where Invasion Earth is sort of the variation, you know, taking the idea of this alien invasion, how can it be sort of different and unusual and a twist on those original H.G. Wells ideas? And I think they accomplished that. We have talked about other shows on British Invaders with alien invasions. Certainly Quatermass back in the 1950s was dealing with it and dealt with it very well. And there was an unusual variation on the alien invasion in the early 60s in A for Andromeda. And then not that much later, in about 1964, Doctor Who did its own alien invasion with the Dalek invasion of Earth. And that sort of was something like the classic version. So definitely there have been a lot of things done with it on British television going all the way back to the 50s and the early 60s.
That's right. And then moving further along, we've got the Gerry Anderson live-action show UFO, which we've talked about here on British Invaders, which deals with alien invaders and a secret force that protects the Earth from them. And interestingly, that had the idea about humans being harvested for organs as well in that show. And then more recently in the 80s, we had the Tripods, which again we've covered on British Invaders, which I suppose took some of the ideas from H.G. Wells and the War of the Worlds and produced a rather interesting children's adventure story. And then quite recently we've talked about Chocky, which has again a different take on the idea of aliens. In much the same way that in the 60s, A for Andromeda did something different, and then Chocky does something different again, using the mind as a form of invasion. So lots of stuff on British Invaders, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not sure if Chocky was really an invasion or not, but it certainly dealt with alien contact in an interesting way.
Back again at any time.
It's not his unit. It's the others.
The ones you mentioned?
I think so. He was sending out transmission, then it was jammed by another signal. We can't even work out where it came from.
It came from wherever they came from. Who are they?
The man's delirious with fever. You'll get no sense out of him.
Okay, so we're going to turn back to Invasion Earth and start to consider some of the good and the bad points of the show. And certainly this is a big budget show, so there's lots of money being spent on it, Brian, and that probably sort of is reflected in the fact that we've got some impressive actors and some big special effects to talk about.
Yes, there was definitely a sense of scope and a sense of scale in this that worked really well. You had, you know, these military bases and sort of big set pieces and lots of things going on, and the sense that this was a big deal, something really big was happening on screen, and it was something that would affect everyone and could be seen everywhere and really didn't have boundaries. And that was nicely done, I thought.
Yes, it is. As you say, big scope, big ideas, and certainly the special effects, I think, all look very impressive. You know, we've got I suppose, relative straightforward makeup for the Echoes, but then we've got these sort of trans-dimensional portals for the NDs. We've got some alien craft. We've got one huge big special effect that the show is building towards. So they're pretty good, I think, the special effects. We can't really criticize them too much.
Yeah, they were certainly very good for the time in which they were made. And even that aside, many of them, you know, really just look very strong at any time.
Yeah. Okay. What about the writing for this show, Brian? What did you think here?
I thought it was okay. The story was an interesting one. I thought the dialogue and pacing was sometimes lacking. Sometimes they would sort of rush a little bit too much, and sometimes it wouldn't be as rushed. The dialogue didn't get me to know those characters quite as much as I would have liked. So some of the writing and dialogue and pacing I thought was a little bit flat. It was okay, but a little bit flat.
It is variable, isn't it? They do have a lot of dialogue scenes where they want to get a lot of information over to us. So we have characters explaining stuff a lot of the time. And some of those drag a bit, and then at other times it all seems to happen quite quickly and perhaps too fast. So as you say, the pacing is variable and may be a problem.
Yes, I think some of the exposition heavy scenes, they didn't use those to get enough sort of personality and sort of interesting things happening with the dialogue, as some other kinds of series have accomplished that. So that was not quite as good as I would have hoped in some ways.
Okay. Certainly the BBC trying to get back into science fiction in a big way. And as you say, they sort of threw themselves into it, at least, didn't they?
Yes, absolutely. And this was an attempt at trying to do something that was big and very ambitious. It was this joint co-production with the Americans involved from the Sci-Fi Channel. And in some ways, I think it might have been a little too ambitious. In some ways, they were trying to do something new, and it was almost like they were trying to make an American show. And that didn't quite work out for them perfectly. It was still an interesting show, for sure. But some aspects, I think, they didn't quite get that balance right.
Yes. I mean, I think it's interesting in a way to ask the question about Invasion Earth, which is, with all these elements and the big budget and the big performances and the big special effects, why it doesn't quite work some of the time. As you say, you know, they were perhaps trying too hard to make a big show and to make a big American-type show, and in places maybe missing some of those smaller things that make British science fiction television successful.
Yes, it was a little different from other things that were attempted certainly on the BBC, either before that or since then.
Yeah, and I wonder how much, you know, a big show like this maybe paved the way for the return of Doctor Who about 7 years later.
Well, certainly it's possible. And you had other productions starting to come out more so not long after this, although it was fantasy, not science fiction. Gormenghast was just a few years later. And it sort of took the big production, but leaned much more towards the things that the BBC was very good at doing.
Oh, that's right. It's an interesting comparison. Yeah, so that is a big show with a big production that we talked about before and really rather enjoyed.
Completely different type of show. But again, it was an attempt at getting back into speculative fiction in some sense. And it was, you know, also an attempt to do something very big with lots of big actors and so on.
Yeah.
So interesting to see the different kinds of things that were being attempted when it had been so long since the BBC had done very much with science fiction or fantasy. They had done some things. They did Neverwhere. They did Red Dwarf in comedy. They did a couple of Russell T. Davies shows that were more coming out of the children's drama department and so on. But doing a big drama, they really hadn't done that much of that since the 1980s. So it was nice to see something like this taken on.
Okay, yep. Another interesting show, perhaps to compare it with, just because it's the same time, I thought about Ultraviolet, which was, I believe, the same year. And the interesting comparison there is that we've got another young writer, in that case, Joe Ahern, who sort of makes his name with a relatively mainstream show, which for Joe Ahern was called This Life. And then when sort of given their you know, free rein to create a new show, they turned to something genre. And Joe Ahern produced the Vampires that weren't called Vampire Show, Ultraviolet, same year. And interestingly, a very sort of similar dark tone to both of these shows, Invasion Earth and Ultraviolet. They were quite grim and gritty.
Yes, absolutely. Ultraviolet, I think, was on Channel 4.
That's right. Yes, Channel 4, and I believe the same year.
It is interesting to see that sort of at that point, shows that were potentially, you know, had potential there to go multiple seasons maybe, were starting to come back into British television in science fiction, which they hadn't been too much before then. There were some things, but it was sort of a time when it was starting to come back, which was nice.
Yeah. And as you say, both shows that could have gone to another season, but perhaps didn't quite get the chance. Maybe it was the timing wasn't quite right.
Absolutely. And of course, if you're wondering about what was ITV doing, well, you had The Last Train was, I think, a year later. And that was also quite dark. So there were these different kinds of things showing up, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, maybe it's that coming up to the millennium thing we talked about before that produces dark and depressing science fiction.
Oh, maybe.
Amanda Tucker.
Amanda, listen carefully. That first transmission, it was cut off, jammed. Another signal hit it. I can't even figure out where it came from.
There may be two alien powers. You could be in danger.
Thanks, Nick. I'll bear that in mind.
So we should talk about the availability if you want to get a hold of Invasion Earth to take a look at it. On Region 1, there is a two-disc DVD set that has all of the episodes. And it has a few extras. It has some production notes, and it has an overview of the alien invasion genre that they were particularly interested in here. So not a lot of extras, but good little DVD set. It's available on Amazon.com for about $25 or Amazon.ca for about $33. And I believe you can find it for less in used sales on Amazon or elsewhere. And it is fairly widely available. I found a discounted new copy in a local bookstore, for instance.
Oh, right. That's where you got it.
Yes.
I would have liked to have seen a few more extra features on that DVD set. It would have been nice to have a short making of production.
Yes, it would have. Yeah.
And it would have been interesting perhaps to have an interview with Jed Mercurio about it. But there you are. And that's the DVD set we've been watching, because over here in Region 2, there is no release, rather strangely perhaps, for a co-production from the BBC, and an expensive co-production for the BBC. I would have thought they would have wanted to get a DVD set out and recoup some of their money. But there you go. So no DVD release in Region 2. Obviously, if you've got a multi-region DVD set, it is fairly easy to get hold of the Region 1 DVD, and that's currently about £11 here on Amazon. But because it's Region 1, you can't get that on the rental site. So you'd have to buy a copy from Amazon or from Amazon Marketplace.
Okay. So that's how you would get a hold of it if you wanted to see it. Now, should you see it? Let's get into our recommendations. What do you have to say, Eamon?
I find this one a tricky one, Brian. I think I've sort of said it already in that somehow or other, this big budget production doesn't quite work, and I'm puzzled in a way as to why it doesn't work. As we've suggested, maybe in a way they would lay in the groundwork for later shows which would be more successful. But I was strangely unmoved by it all, even though it is sort of grim and gritty and depressing. So my recommendation is going to be a very sort of cautious one. If you think it sounds like the sort of thing you'd like, you know, big budget and special effects and invasion, then check it out. I can't say rent it because it's not available here in Region 2, but, you know, perhaps check it out cautiously and let us know what you think. What about yourself, Brian?
I'm going to say something quite similar, actually. It was an interesting show, but in some ways it just did not work that well and was not as gripping as I would hope that it would be. It felt a little bit like it was a British show that was trying to be like an American show, and was the British production teams were just not that good at doing that. They were better at doing the more traditionally British style shows. So you end up with something that is a little bit of a hybrid between British and American styles that is packed with interesting ideas and in some ways just does not work that well. So if you're curious about what they did, or if you do like this idea of, you know, the sort of big budget late 90s TV show with all these complex ideas in it, then yeah, you could check it out. It certainly is not something I can give a strong recommendation to, so I will also go with the cautious recommendation on this one.
Okay. As you say, maybe the BBC show that tried too hard.
Maybe.
But if you can answer the conundrum of why this show perhaps doesn't quite work, then please do chip in on the Facebook group or on the blog page or send us an email. We'd love to get some feedback about it.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Invasion Earth was a BBC and American Sci-Fi Channel co-production from the late 90s. It told the story of how an alien craft shows up in the Earth atmosphere and a British RAF officer, without authorization, shoots the craft down. And we end up with a situation where we have this peace-loving alien race called the Echoes with a human representative called Terrell, who are in conflict with the NDs, which are these n-dimensional, higher-dimension creatures that can access our space at any point and manipulate things, and are trying to harvest life, including humans, in order to use that. And we end up with this very formidable threat and this complex situation that leads to a somewhat ambiguous and very intense ending.
Okay, interesting show. If you think we are wrong in our recommendations, then please let us know.
Absolutely.
And join us next time when we are switching to ITV. We're going back to 1989. We're back to one of our favourite British Invaders writers, Nigel Neal, and in particular, his adaptation of a very famous ghost story, The Woman in Black, which was a 1983 novel by Susan Hill, and here adapted by Nigel Neal. So again, we're going to something quite dark and spooky again, Brian.
Yes, and into the realm of classic British ghost stories. So that will be definitely fun to talk about. So you can reach us at britishinvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. We look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, this is Eamon in England, also signing off.